with Dion and Alan.
Alan, you know that explanation of Genesis chapter 1 in relation to Psalm 137, that context of the exile really makes Genesis 1 alive for me. You know, because very often when I've heard Christians speaking about that particular text, their arguments are about evolution and creation, and you know, that doesn't seem to edify or build anything up. Whereas this really gives me such tremendous hope, a God who brings order in chaos and hope in the midst of despair. So just that little element of context really brought a new layer to the text for me. Have you got any other examples that you can share with us?
I love your word there, layer, that there are different layers in a text, and that's important. This is not changing the meaning of Genesis chapter 1. It is offering a different layer. So, for example, here in the studio, I've got a picture for you, Dion. What do you see in this picture? If you had to just look at this picture literally, give me a literal interpretation of this picture.
Well, I'm looking at a picture of a stream. It's water flowing, and there's some rocks. And on the side of the stream, there are a couple of trees and you know, a big blue sky.
Right. That's a literal interpretation of that. Now, can I give you some context for this picture?
Yeah.
What would happen if I had to tell you that this picture was on the mantelpiece of a home, and it's the exact place where a young man proposed to a young woman to get married? What does the picture now mean?
Yeah, gee, well, it's more than just water and stones. Now it's a very special place, you know. It makes me smile when I think about that.
Right. Now what happens if I had to tell you that picture is still on one of their mantelpieces, but they're no longer married?
Sure.
Yeah, they got divorced.
That adds another layer. You know, it speaks a little bit more of the meaning and the importance for the person on whose mantelpiece it is.
It's the same picture, and you have shared three different meanings, as I've explained context. The first, I gave you no context, and you just told me what you saw. Then I gave you context of a marriage, and then I gave you context of a divorce, and you saw different things in the painting. The exact same with Genesis chapter 1. If we look at it, just a literal, as we look at it, what do we learn? God is the creator. Beautiful. That's lovely. It's true. God is the creator. Mm. But when we place it in context, that meaning is not erased, it's enhanced. What is the meaning now when we read it or hear it from exile? That God is a God who brings newness out of loss. And that's the beautiful meaning of it. So I want to offer, when we delve into context, Dion, the text is not erased. Original meanings are not erased. They are enhanced. And as you said, there are different layers of the text.
I remember when we started off with this series, one of the little images you shared with us was that of a parent measuring their child's height, you know, and saying when your child's 3, you peg them, and eventually when they get to 16 and you've got, you know, 10 or so things on the wall, you don't rub out the one at the bottom. It's not less important, it's just different. It has a different association, a different meaning.
Absolutely. Now, if we look at that Genesis chapter 1 and we were comparing it with the Psalm 137, we saw that in chapter 1, for example, the Hebrew word used for God is Elohim, which we find used in Psalm 137. When we get to, and that was used around about the 5th century, that was during the time of exile. When we get to Genesis chapter 3, which we're going to look at more deeply in the next segment, Genesis chapter 3, the word for God is Yahweh. Now, I want to say something interesting about this word. We spell it with two vowels, the A and the E in it, just to enable us to pronounce the word. But in actual fact, in Hebrew, it's just four letters without the vowels. In other words, it's impossible to pronounce Yahweh. All right? And there's such beautiful insight into that. Number one, the name of God is so holy that we can't even, you know, speak it. Number two, if you just say those letters together, it will sound like this. Now, I don't know if the listeners can appreciate that, but what I'm doing is just simply breathing out. Mm. And so God is the great breath. Mm. That when you and I are breathing, whether we're conscious of it or not, we are dependent on God. And it reminds me of that beautiful scripture of Paul when he says, we live and move and have our being in God. So that word of God was used in Genesis chapter 3. And that word of God was used from the 9th century to the 12th century before Christ. So it's separated by many, many hundred years. And I'm hoping that in the next segment, we can look at that more deeply.
Now, Alan, that's a very important thing because very often when we engage with the text at that level and we just have the courage to try and find out one or two additional things, whether it's going to a commentary or, you know, searching for that particular text on the internet and getting some background on it, that date stuff, it just gives us that extra little insight.
So before we move to the next segment, as we wrap up this one, Genesis chapter 1, I want to invite the listeners to see it as a sermon, that if the listeners out there are feeling that they've lost everything, including their faith, if they think that God has gone missing, I want them to trust that God is a God who right in the beginning creates stuff out of nothing. God doesn't need any stuff to create stuff out of. God can create out of nothing. And finally, to remember that they're born in the beautiful image of God. They are not mud.
Are you stirred by this message? Then get in touch with us and send us a text to +27 782 785 300. For more audio and information on this series, please visit www.mannaandmercy.org.